Amen. Christ the Savior is born. And He is the Savior. He comes to seek and to save. And that's why we can celebrate this morning, celebrate God's goodness to us and celebrate the gift that God has given to us. During this Advent season, we've been lighting candles and words like hope, peace, joy, love, light. Those are words that have been used frequently during the Advent season. It's been words that sought to focus us in on the gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to meditate and call our attention to the gift of God that we have been given in Jesus Christ. But I'd like to read Matthew's account of the Christmas story. Last night we read Luke's account in Luke chapter 2, and this morning I would like to read from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, to Matthew chapter 2, to the end of the story of the Magi coming. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. And I would like to read two verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Verses that probably many of you have memorized, but I think that really focuses in on the gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. John 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Earlier, Daniel mentioned about gift-giving. Christmas is the season. Most of December is wrapped up in shopping trips and planning for gifts and gatherings. It's a time when families come together and gifts are exchanged. It's in some way we try to express our love to people, our care and concern for people by giving them gifts. But all of those gifts and all of the gift-giving we do is I've kind of wondered where did we pick up this tradition? Where did it come from? Somebody could probably research it for us and tell us maybe where gift giving at Christmas started. But my guess is it comes out of the fact that God has given to us the gift of life. God has given to us His Son, His most precious gift, and out of that we seek to give to someone else. It's that motivation of love that moves us to give gifts to people that we care about and people that we are concerned for, and so in some way we seek to give. I came across some gifts are obviously extravagant. Some gifts are cheap. I came across a little thing here. I thought, well, it's humorous. I'll use it this morning. But it says the world's stingiest man went Christmas shopping, but everything he saw was too expensive, except a $50 vase that was on sale for $2 because the handle had been broken off. He bought it and had the salesman ship it by mail so that his friend would think that he paid $50 for it, and that it had been broken in the shipping. A week after Christmas, he received a thank you note from his friend. "Thank you for the lovely vase," his letter said. "It was so nice of you to wrap each piece separately." But God's gift, when God gave his gift to us in Jesus Christ, there was nothing cheap about the gift. It was the most expensive gift that he could give, that he wanted to not only demonstrate his love. While our gifts may be motivated sometimes by selfishness, we might feel an obligation to give gifts, we might want to impress somebody with the gift, we might want to give something maybe to be recognized, we might want to give because we don't want to be embarrassed, somebody else might be giving to us and we would be embarrassed. There's many other reasons, motivations, selfish motivations for gift giving, but God's gift to us was motivated out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. As I've reflected on this, I've asked the question, what makes the perfect gift? I don't know that I have the answer. I don't know that I'm the kind of person that can give the perfect gift many times. But as I've thought in my own mind, as I've thought about the gift that God has given to us in Christ, and just gift giving in general, asking the question, what makes a good gift? What is it about a gift when you receive that gift that makes it the, yes, that was a good gift? So here I'll just give you some of my thoughts. A good gift in some way communicates our love for the person that we're giving that gift. Some people have a love language of giving gifts. They love to give gifts. When they give, they're expressing that love. Others, when they're receiving, all of us, when we're receiving gifts, someone's communicating to us of their love for us. So a good gift communicates our love for the person that we're giving the gift to. A perfect gift in some way must be personal. The right gift somehow tells us that tells that person we've been listening to their desires. Somehow throughout the process of life, we have been listening what it is that's on their heart. What are their desires of their heart? And in some way, a good gift meets that desire of the heart. And ultimately, God's gift to us meets the ultimate desires of our heart. The best gifts, I think, come from those who know us best because they're more personal. There's something attached to them. A gift may have special meaning. There might be some remembrance of past experiences that come with that gift. A perfect gift would usually be given to meet some specific need or some deep desire. A perfect gift is also sacrificial. It probably would cost us something. There's some sacrifice that's involved. And I mean, when we think of the gift that God has given to us, there was huge sacrifice attached to that gift. And the perfect gift, I think, is one that keeps on giving. And when we think of the gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ, it is a gift that keeps on giving. And day after day, walking with God, we realize in deeper and deeper ways the wonders of that gift that God has given to us. So let me just give you some thoughts as I've reflected on the gift of God from John 3:16 and throughout the Christmas season this year. Let me just give you some thoughts. First of all, thought number one, the gift that God gave us in Jesus was in the plan and mind of God from before the foundation of the world. This wasn't a gift that God decided one day, you know what, I think I'm just going to give this. No, this was a gift that was planned out. I don't know how long you plan out your Christmas gifts, how long you think about what am I going to give to each person. This was a gift that God had planned out from eternity past. He knew the fall was going to happen. He knew that mankind was going to be estranged from him. He thought about this gift and the timing of this gift for years and years and years and years. Now, to me, that's what makes, in some ways, this gift so amazing. So when the fall happened, when God said to Adam and Eve, I don't want you to eat from that tree, and they did, and God says, the moment you eat from that tree, you will die. And God turns around just moments later, and he speaks promises to Adam and Eve, and he says to Eve, he says, of your seed, there's going to be someone coming who is going to crush the head of the serpent. And so God already looked forward to the gift. As soon as the fall had happened and mankind was dying and estranged from God, God recognized, he had a plan to give a gift. Now, when we think about the gift, what is the gift that we need? What is it that we need from God? Someone, and I've used this before, and I just want to remind us of it. Jesus didn't just come to make bad people good. He did that. But the reality is, Jesus came to make dead people live. The fall caused us to die. He says, the moment you eat from that fruit, you will surely die. And so we needed a Savior who could make us live, and a Savior who could give us eternal life, and a Savior who could give us real and abundant life. So this gift that God gave to us wasn't one that God just dreamed up in a moment of time. It came through the mind of God. And so he gave us prophecies in Scripture. Trevor, in his sermon, I think, dealt with some of the prophecies in Micah and Isaiah. Those were prophetic words that were pointing to this Savior. He was throughout the Old Testament. We have the book of Leviticus, which it takes a real struggle for most of us to read. But all of those are pictures of this gift that God was going to give, the Lamb of God, who is going to take away the sins of the world. So the gift that God has given to us is one that was in the mind of God from before the fall, before the foundation of the earth. God made covenants with Abraham, covenants with David. All of these things were going to be part of God's plan. And then we read in the Christmas story that God caused the king to call a census. And the only reason for that census was to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, where he had prophesied that the Christ child would be born. So the gift was in the mind of God from before the fall. Secondly, the gift was motivated by the love of God. When you think of the gospel, I think sometimes we just need to kind of get back to center. We need to get back to the heart and the core of the gospel. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God's gift was motivated by his love for us. It was not motivated by anger or wrath. It was not, God could have sent punishment. We deserve that punishment. God looked at the plight of mankind, and he could have said, you know what, I'm just going to destroy them all. They've walked away from me. They've rebelled against me. They've done everything I've told them to do. They've done the opposite. And God looked at that and said, no, I love these people. I care about the world I've created. I care about these people that are turning their back to me and walking away from me, and I need to bring them back to myself. God's gift to us is motivated by the love of God. And my question to us is, when we see the gift of the Christ child on Christmas morning, when we see what Jesus came to do, do we sense, do we know in our own hearts God's love for us? God demonstrated his own love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's motivation in sending the Christ child to us is he loved us. He loved you. He loved me. He loved us enough to send this gift. So when we think of God's love to us, there's, I think, a number of things that speak his love to us. Obviously, his love on the cross. He laid down his life for us on the cross. But 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." God's not only demonstrated his life, his love to us by dying on the cross, but he demonstrates his love to us by accepting us as his sons and daughters when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So when you think of the love of God and the gift, do you really believe God's love towards us? When we don't have a proper focus of the love of God in our hearts drift to the other end, and that's fear. And God's word says that perfect love casts out fear. If we fear, we haven't been perfected in his love. And so today, as we reflect on this gift that God has given to us, we need to remember that it's a gift motivated by the love of God. God looked at mankind, and he didn't look at us with anger. He may have had some wrath, obviously had wrath, because of the sin and the fall. He could have looked at us with disappointment and discouragement and said, "They've just messed it all up." But no, he said, "I'm going to look at them through the lens of my love. I care enough about these people that I am going to send them a Savior. I'm going to send them someone who can make dead people live, who can transform the hearts and minds and regenerate us, cause us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So the gift was motivated by love. The gift meets the deepest needs of our own hearts. We sometimes don't maybe come to terms with what the deepest needs of our hearts are. And I don't pretend to know all of the deepest needs, but I think one of my deepest needs, and I think our deepest need, is to know God. We need to know the one who has created us. We need to have relationship. And so God says, "This gift I'm going to give is going to restore broken relationship. This gift that I'm going to give is going to dissolve the barrier of sin that separates us from himself." And he says, "This deepest need I'm going to meet by giving them the gift of a Savior." Our need is to be forgiven. And so God says, "I am going to give them a gift that will include forgiveness, that their sins could be atoned for and paid for." We also had a need to somehow know the nature of God. What is he like? Who is he? And so we had this God who is in heaven, but he somehow we're out of touch with him. God says, "I'm going to give them a gift where they're going to know me." And so he gives the gift, and the Apostle John says, "Our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hands have handled." Jesus says, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And so God gave us a gift of himself and saying, "This is what I'm like. This is my nature." When you look at Jesus, you have seen the heart of God. You have seen the nature of God. The gift is also for all mankind. When we think of the birth of the Christ child, the angel said, "This is going to be a sign that you're going to see, that you're going to see this child, this baby, laid in, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." I sometimes ask the question, why in a manger? Why in that cave or whatever, that cattle stall or whatever it was where Jesus, where the manger was, where Jesus was laid? Why in that place? And I think, as I've thought about it, and you, I've obviously probably all know the answer, but I think the reason is that if Jesus had been born in a palace, or Jesus had been born in some five-star hotel, or Jesus had been born in some rich place, only certain people would have been able to identify. The poorest of the poor would have said, "Well, he may be a savior for kings, or he may be a savior for armies, or he may be a savior for wealthy people." But with him being born where he was, he's accessible to all of us. We can all say, "He's a savior that can relate to me. In my most broken and humble and darkest times, he is a Savior who can relate to me. He took and left the glories of heaven, and he came to earth. And Mary and I were talking about this on the way to church this morning, and thinking about what a shock that would have been. Here Jesus is in heaven. The angels of heaven are worshiping. Everything's under his control. And he steps down and comes to this earth, to a stable, to a manger. But he did it to demonstrate that he was a Savior for all mankind. For God so loved the world. And I think we need to keep that in mind, that he is the Savior of the whole world. God's desire was always to reach the world. We see so many examples of that in Scripture. Let me just quickly give you a couple. God had chosen Abraham, and out of Abraham's seed, he had raised up the nation of Israel, and they were God's chosen people. They were the apple of his eye. But even in the midst of that, God gave them snapshots and pictures of his desire to reach the Gentiles. We have the story of Naaman the leper. He was a Syrian general. He had leprosy, and a little Jewish girl says, if he would only get connected with Elisha the prophet, he could be healed. And Elisha the prophet went, and Naaman ultimately came, and he washed in the Jordan. But it's a picture of God's desire for even the Syrians, for a Syrian general to find God. We have the story of Jonah. Jonah could not get over the fact that God would want to save Nineveh. They were heathens. They were people that were enemies of the Jewish people. And yet God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to these people. I have something for them. For God so loved the world. There's so many stories now in the gospel. We as Gentile believers have come because God so loved the world. This gift has been given to the world. It's a gift for all mankind. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. This gift can only be seen when we look through a spiritual lens. When we look at just naturally, yeah, there was a baby born in Bethlehem. So what? Big deal. But all of a sudden the angels come to the shepherds and say, today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. All of a sudden those angels, or those shepherds, had information that they didn't have before. And that information moved them to go and worship. We look at the Magi coming from the east. They had been following this star. And how did they know? They said, we have come to worship him. Where's the king of the Jews? And so they opened to Jesus their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There was a recognition in gold of that he was a king. There was a recognition of the frankincense that he would be a priest. There was a recognition with the myrrh that he would die on the cross. How did they know those things? Somehow God revealed. God reveals this gift to each of us. We're here, probably most of us are here, because in some way, God has spoken to our hearts. Some way, God has opened the eyes of our hearts to recognize God's gift to us in Jesus Christ. And we, if you think about it, we are a very privileged people that God would say, I'm going to give a gift, but I'm going to open their eyes for them to understand the meaning of that gift, a gift of acceptance with him, a gift of reconciliation. This gift to me is a gift of a second chance. Each of us had blown it. Each of us has walked away from God in so many different ways. Each of us has failed God in so many ways. But the gift that God gives us in Jesus Christ is the gift of a second chance. It says, I can start over. I can let my past be put under the blood of Christ, and I can start new. This is a gift of a second chance. And maybe there's someone here this morning that needs a second chance. Maybe there's a past that you're not very proud of. There's a past and decisions and the results of that decision that you wish you could blot out. Now, you can't change the past, but God can redeem the past. God sent us a Savior, a Redeemer, one who could take our past faults, sins, and failures and put them under His blood and said, I'm going to make all things new. We become new creations. When we come to Christ, we become new creations. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Maybe there's someone here today that needs to know that God's gift to us in Jesus Christ means there can be a second chance, that there can be a past of failure and sin that can be forgiven and blotted out, and a new start today. Maybe that's God's gift for you today. This is a gift that came with great cost and price. Ultimately, Jesus left heaven, the glories of heaven, to come to this earth. And then He paid for our sins by dying on the cross. So the cost of that gift was huge, but it's a gift that Jesus was willing to give to each one of us. But it's a gift that must be received by faith. When we think of gifts that have been given, we receive gifts. We give gifts, but we also receive them. And I came across a story of a pardon, and I thought, that just so much describes the importance of receiving the gift. This is a story about a man. It says, the title of the story is A Man That Cannot Be Pardoned. God is gracious, but He will not force the acceptance of His grace upon any man. In 1829, George Wilson in Pennsylvania was sentenced to be hanged by a United States court for robbing the mail and for committing murder during the robbery. President Andrew Jackson pardoned him, but this was refused. And Wilson insisted that it was not a pardon unless he accepted it. This was a point of law that had never been raised before, and the president called the Supreme Court to decide. Chief Justice John Marshall gave the following decision. A pardon is a piece of paper, and the value of which depends upon its acceptance by the person implicated. It is hard to understand that one under a sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon, but if it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged, and he was hanged. And you think of that situation, and you think, why would that man not have accepted a pardon? It was offered to him by the President of the United States, and he refused to accept the pardon, and so he had to die for the punishment of his sins. But God, too, gives us a pardon. He offers to us the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. But it's a gift that must be received. It's a gift that God says, I want you to open your heart. And Daniel read Revelation 3, verse 20 earlier in the service. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, receives that gift, open the door, He says, I will come in and have fellowship, dine with Him and He with me. And so this morning, as we think of God's gift, I'm sure that many of you have received that gift, and we celebrate and worship Him because of that gift. But maybe there's someone here this morning that has not received His pardon, His gift of eternal life. The reason God came is because He loved you. It's the reason Jesus came is because He loved you and cared about your life, and He wants to blot out the past, and He wants to give you a fresh start in life. But all you have to do is open your heart to Him and receive the gift of eternal life that He has given. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we think of this Christmas season, it's a season of great joy. It's a season of celebration of the gift that we've been given in Jesus, that You would love us and care deeply for us. Jesus, that You would leave the glories of heaven and be born and laid in a manger. Lord, in that place, in the poverty, in the most humble of circumstances, You would endure that. And then ultimately the rejection of men, You would endure all of those things and go to the cross, that we could be offered a second chance. Lord, I pray today for someone here that may need a second chance. Lord, that You are able to redeem. You are able to restore the years the locusts have eaten. You're able to take the past and blot it out and give people a fresh start. Lord, I pray for someone today in this place that needs to open their hearts to the gift that you give, the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Not only eternal life, but abundant life. So God, I just ask that you would help us to celebrate and be thankful for the gift that you have given. And Lord, as we think of gifts that we give, whether that's gifts that we've already given this Christmas or that we will still be giving away, Lord, help them to be motivated by the same thing that motivated the greatest gift that you have given to us in Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen.